Opinionated.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
He's high energy.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
And now, he's here to get you through the end of your workday.
After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
Welcome in to the Jake Logley Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Live and in not living color from the beautiful Sandy Hollow Studios, it is the Jake Logley Show, Sports Fan Radio 1330. So happy you are making us a part of your Thursday. 3 full hours of nonstop, unrelenting, unapologetic sports talk. Big news throughout the course of the day. Lots to talk to you about as we move through all the things going on in our state line, in our region. Want to start with a new way you can get in touch with us. That's right. We already have the phone line, 815-874-1330. Of course, you can always reach out via Facebook or Twitter. That is available to you as well. Now, you can text us. That's right. Our text lines are now open. The number, 88474. That's right, only five numbers. 88474. Anything that we talk about, anything we are bringing up that you want to contribute to, 88474. The first time you text it, just text the word interact. Then when it asks you to confirm, just type Y and you are all set. Save that number, 88474, into your contacts. You can join all the fun from 6 to 8, then 2 to 5. Again, new text line. We'll be reminding you of that all throughout the show today and through the coming days and weeks. 88474. In the grand scheme of text numbers, that's a pretty easy one to remember, but I want you to save it into your phone. That way, of course, you can be the first to know whenever something is going on, and you can be the first to respond to us. That's what makes this thing fun. That's what makes it really entertaining, is when we get to hear and interact with you. So, what's going on today? The Bears reported to training camp. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy had a joint press conference. We'll hear that a little bit later in the show. More reaction to Jabari Parker being announced with the Chicago Bulls. Things that he said making headlines on national and regional levels. We'll talk about that. We got the Open Championship going on. The leader was out this morning, Kevin Kisner. In one of the first tee times, posted a -5. He is the sole possessor of the lead with his first round 66. Eric Van Rooyen, Tony Finau, Xander Lombard, Brandon Stone, Ryan Moore, Brandon Steele, all hanging out at either -4 or -3. I just went down the list here. Of course, people were following Tiger Woods throughout a majority of the day. He started the day very strong, birdieing 2 of his first 4 holes. Exactly how you draw up, how you want to start the day. However, since then, Tiger has been leveling off. He is now through 16 holes. He's on 17 right now at even par. So front, very, very level. 2 birdies on the front on 1 and 4. And then he goes around and bogeys 10. He birdies 11. Bogeys 13 and bogeys 15. So up and down there on the back 9. Trying to find a way to make some pars, get out of here at even par, and still stay in the lead. A plus number is not a good score today, like you said, like we said. -5 currently is the leader, with Kevin Kisner starting to develop a stranglehold on this tournament. And here's the thing. I'm hearing lots of conversations about the Open, about Tiger, about golf, and it all revolves around the same few things. If you aren't a fan of Tiger, if you still haven't forgiven him for all the things that went on years and years ago, if you still get hung up on the fact that he celebrated too much, that he was too emotional, I want to be very clear. If you are an advocate for the game of golf, you better learn to love Tiger Woods, because he is your last vestige of hope that people will be inspired to play your game. He is the dying ember of this game. The numbers show it. When he is in competition, it skyrockets. When he's not, that's just the beginning, middle, and end. How are we going to pretend like we can pick and choose where we develop our allegiances in the game? If you want it to grow, you want the most notable player to be competing at the biggest stages. You might not want him to win the tournament. You at least want him to be playing well. If Tiger Woods starts winning majors again, we're never going to have another discussion about an RPD closing a golf course. They're going to be getting new golfers. Old golfers are going to come back. Present golfers are going to play more. That's just how this world works. No one has been able to captivate the country ever, and maybe never will, the way that Tiger Woods did. So when I saw that he was minus two through four holes, I was jacked up. I was praying that score would hold, and he'd walk into Friday only down three strokes off the leader. I was on my knees praying for that one. But of course, Carnoustie started rearing its ugly head. Tiger starts missing putts, leaving them atrociously short. I saw his bogey on 13. I mean, even when he threw up a red number to start the back nine, he at least bounced back with a birdie. And then you just knew that he was fighting from then to four. One through nine, quiet. Stingers off the tee with the irons. Cool wedges in. Confident with the putter, working with the mallet putter now. And then just really starts looking like the Tiger we know, where he's teetering on the edge of disaster just about all the time. And that's probably the new reality. We're probably never going to get that guy back. But at least we saw a flash of it this morning, early afternoon. And that's worth something. I don't know what it's worth, but it's not a zero number. It is worth something to the game of golf that he's even competing, that he's even in the top 50. That is relevant, to say the least. And if you've seen any pictures of the Open today, if you've been able to watch it at all, if you have any kind of work that allows you to carve out some time during the day to have it on the screen somewhere in your life, you'll see that this is a unique event. You'll see really green greens. The greens are super watered. The tee box is somewhat so. And the rest of it looks like they're playing on a desert. I mean, it is matted yellow and brown grass everywhere on the golf course. Because over in the UK, they believe in the old school way of playing the game, where Mother Nature decides the course conditions. At the Masters, at the US Open, when it's been played at Torrey Pines, Pebble Beach, and all these types of places, they get to manicure the greens and in the environment to what they want it to play at. They need to slow it down, they water. If they want it to speed up, they'll stop watering, depending on how much rain has been falling in the weeks prior. And if just had been a monsoon, then it's going to be slow no matter what you do. You can't counteract the lack of rain other than not watering at all, but Mother Nature can give you so much water that it's just going to be slow no matter what you do. But you can speed it up. You can slow it down. You can do that manually. The UK doesn't believe in that. They want Mother Nature to decide what the courses are. And in the UK, this spring and summer, it has been exceptionally dry and exceptionally hot. And when you balance that with acres and miles of turf, and no water's been on them, they just baked. And every time you hit a shot off the fairway, just this cloud of dust. It's not that clean divot. You'll see the hole that looks like a divot, but it just explodes into thin air. It's a pretty unique thing watching these guys deal with that. The runs on the fairways are absolutely one of a kind, something I had never seen before, the way these balls are running through fairways. You can hit the ball 430 yards and not big players. Before the round, I saw Brant Snedeker post that he had hit a ball 427. And to counteract it, they've been slowing down the greens. They look a little choppy. At least that's what the announcers were saying, and the aesthetic kind of backs that up. A lot of people leaving putts short. A lot of people trying to just pound putts into the hole. just throwing them in at a million miles an hour, which is a decent strategy, one I employ on the golf course. I just have to aim behind the cup a little bit, just hope there's not much break, and hope whatever is there I take out of it. And now you're seeing the pros do that. You're not seeing a lot of spin coming into greens because you just can't really get on top of the ball that well. Risk you might just blade it. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. Going to be very interesting to see how they deal with the greens after today, how heavily they roll them after the coming out of the event or the first day of the tournament. It's probably going to be said that these were running too slow. And we saw how the U.S. Open dealt with in-tournament criticism. They played four different golf courses, four different days. And I don't think that's the way to handle these types of things. I don't think you should cave every time the general public tells you you're an idiot. Sometimes you should, to make it clear that you care about what your demographic, your fans, your what have you, care about what they have to say. That matters. But you can't cave to every single little critique. It makes you look weak. It makes you look like you don't know what you're doing. It makes you look like you are incompetent. I'll give credit to UK Golf for that. I mean, you talk about there's no irrigation. They couldn't water the fairways. This tournament's been set here for years. They could have been guys out in carts with hoses watering this thing all spring and summer. They just didn't want to. That's not how they think golf should be played. So they didn't. And that's pretty awesome. And I'm excited to see golf played in a different way. Because when you go out and play golf, golf courses can be wildly different. These guys play on the same general feel in a lot of ways. I mean, every course is designed a little different. They undulate a little differently. The course is laid out a little differently. Par 3, 4s, and 5s are shuffled a little bit differently. But everything is manicured so tightly that eventually it all starts to run together. Like, you could be the only golf course that really sets itself apart, maybe there's one or two in the casual golfer's mind, Augusta and maybe Pebble Beach. You could recognize a couple holes from there. Everything else, if you just turned on a golf tournament and I told you they were in Austin, Texas, you'd say, yeah, that seems right. And I could say, nah, they're in Coeur d'Alene. You'd say, yeah, that's right. So it's kind of cool that there you now can distinguish the Open from everything else. And Lynx Golf, you can always kind of tell. That's always a little different, but this is a wild change of pace. That's why I'm slightly interested to see if, I mean, the leader right now, plenty of Americans on the board. Lots of South Africans. Eric Van Rooyen tied for second. Xander Lombard, the same. Brandon Stone, only one shot behind the leader. I'm interested to see, maybe this is advantageous for one of these countries in the UK or somewhere else in the world where golf is more like this. That maybe they're more used to wildly different changing conditions based on what the weather has been like. That's very interesting to me. That's something I'm going to be watching. Obviously, I'm going to be watching Tiger. My two picks for this tournament were, well, my one pick, I got to be honest, I said Tommy Fleetwood. And he was at even par for a lot of the day. I don't know exactly where he finished. He finished plus one, so he's six shots back after round one. That is a little bit disconcerting. Jordan Spieth plus one as well. So if he can give a charge, that would be really, really helpful. And then the other guy who I always think deserves to win the major, although maybe this type of golf doesn't exactly fit his strong suit, is Ricky Fowler, who is minus one on the day, so four shots behind the leader. But I think the charges are going to come at different times. Do I think Kevin Kisner is going to go out there tomorrow and fire minus five? I don't. And if he does, I don't think anyone's going to be close to him. Tony Finau is a guy also you should look out for. Remember, that's the guy who at the Masters, the par 3, nailed one, sunk an ace, then celebrated running down the hill and snapped his ankle. Still played in the tournament. Was the leader after Friday. So that guy's got some grit. He can deal with some rough conditions in his own body. He can certainly deal with some rough conditions on the course as well. Remember, 815-874-1330, the phone number, but we have a brand new text line, 88474. That's 88474. If you want to text to us, first time you do, text the word interact, I-N-T-E-R-A-C-T, interact, and then you confirm with Y, and then you are all set. So you got to go through a couple steps the first time, and then you are in the club. You can text us anytime for any reason, and we will be following during our live shows, and always we'll get your thought on the air, assuming it can pass the FCC. But that's our brand new text line. We're going to hit a break. You are listening to the Jake Logley Show. My name is Jake Logley. We got you till 5 o'clock on Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. If it's time to consider assisted living for a family member or friend, please know that we're committed to providing a lifestyle for our residents that emphasizes...
Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley here on the Jake Logley Show. So happy you made us a part of your day with you till 5 o'clock. 815-874-1330, the brand new number to call if there's anything on your mind. Just kidding, that's not a brand new number. Tell you what is brand new, our text line, 88474, the brand new text line that you can join us anywhere, from anywhere, at any time, and without the risk of your boss knowing that you're texting in. We're slacking off from work because you're listening to us. Don't worry, we'll keep you anonymous if you so choose. You can also sign your name. That way you can know when your text is being read. 88474, the brand new text line. All you got to do is text interact the first time. That's right, the word interact. And then confirm with the letter Y. It'll prompt you for all those things. And then you can text into the show anytime you so choose. With that said, we got a lot to talk about. We started talking about the open in the open to the show. I see what I did there. I'm hilarious. I also want to focus on the Chicago Bears today, because today is a fun day. We officially, even though some people wanted to make it Monday or Tuesday when rookies started reporting, today for me is the end of the offseason, and now we are in the preseason. And why is that important? Because it launches us on a trajectory that I'm very excited about. 2018 into 2019 is going to be a very fun time for Chicago sports fans. The Bears are launching on this Matt Nagy era. They've already set the infrastructure in place. The roster has been coming together for the last 2 or 3 years under the tutelage and the vision of Ryan Pace, who, at the very least, I think you have to say, has a vision. Whether it will work or not, whether it'll be effective or not, is to be determined. And I don't think you can say with a whole degree 100% certainty, and you can discount it as unsuccessful or it's primed for no success. I don't think we've seen enough to where I can unequivocally say, of course this isn't going to work. I think they've drafted after Kevin White. We should be honest about that. That one did not work out the way any of us intended. We can also say that Leonard Floyd was a great pick. I think a lot of people would say grabbing Adrian Amos is a great pick. Finding Akeem Hicks on the street after getting cut from the New Orleans Saints is an unequivocal success for Ryan Pace. Jordan Howard in the third round. Cody Whitehair. He picked a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, something GMs in Chicago have been terrified to do my entire life, and for a lot of yours as well. It's an exciting time to be a Chicago Bears fan, whether you are entirely optimistic or not. That's frankly irrelevant. It is still an exciting proposition, the idea that the Bears are now trying to win every single game they play. That's exciting. And you're excited about some of these players. You want to see what happens with Mitchell Trubisky. You want to know what happens with these new targets, whether Trey Burton is as advertised, whether Allen Robinson can come back from a really tough injury. So here is the question. As we launch on our Thursday, we have a question of the day for you today. as the Bears are reporting to Bourbonnais, how many wins, how many W's this season before you consider it a success? How many W's this year? Is it more than last? Is it the same? Are you still not very convinced this is a team that's ready to win? Is it 7, 8, 9? What do you need to see from these Chicago Bears? What do you need to see from Mitchell Trubisky that can maybe factor into your answer? But here's our question of the day. It's just a number. That's all you have to give me is a number. If you want to give me a reason behind the number, if you want to give me they have to beat the Green Bay Packers once, if that's all that matters to you, their record in Green Bay, that could be okay too. But as the Bears report to Bourbonnais, how many wins would you consider a successful 2018 season? Successful. Not a season that leaves some reason for optimism, but a successful 2018 campaign. Is it jumping one of the Packers and or Vikings? Is that what you need to see? Is it just compete? Is it finishing at some place in your division? That's what I want to know today, because I think the Bears fever is starting to spread. I think people are starting to feel the heat a little bit when it comes to what they're doing. I think Ryan Pace's roster leaves some reason for optimism, although the jury is definitely still out on that one. We have no idea what this Matt Nagy offense is going to look like. That's why preseason is going to be important. We're going to see the shell of what's supposed to be what Mark Trestman was billed as. We're going to see what Mark Trestman was trying to do in developing a cutting-edge offense. Not the same principles. Mark Trestman and Matt Nagy are not cut from the same cloth, but they're both trying to reinvent the wheel somewhat on how to move the football on offense. Matt Nagy, you're going to see all what's called RPOs, run-pass options. Will it work? Do the Bears have the personnel to make it work? I don't know. That's what makes this whole thing fun. But you can't tell me you're not at least intrigued by what Mitch Trubisky does in year two. And he met the media today, and he's tired of all the comparisons to Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, who both took giant steps from year one to year two. I always go back to my conversation with Josh Liskowitz from Pro Football Focus. You can't expect a Jared Goff-like jump from Mitch Trubisky from year one to year two. It's not fair. It's not fair to him. What you can expect is improvement. And what you can expect is being able to move the football down the field. Remember, the Rams ditch Jeff Fisher. They bring in a young offensive mind like Sean McVay. They go from the worst offense in football to one of the top three. Now, they had a number one overall quarterback that was undisputed. And that's a rarity. Mitchell Trubisky was not an undisputed number one. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of people who text us, a lot of people who tweet at us, a lot of people who call in, who said they would have picked Deshaun Watson. I don't blame you for thinking that. And I think it's a fair argument you can make. Because Deshaun Watson was always going to be better out of the gate. He was always going to be a better player immediately based on the situation he was stepping into, based on his experience in college, based on the level of play and the pressure he played under in college. But there's also a case for people who say Mitchell Trubisky is better suited to be a long-term pro-style quarterback based on his increased accuracy, based on his willingness to stand in the pocket instead of always trying to evade and make plays. Playmaking quarterbacks are great. They're highlight reel machines. They also take a lot of sacks. They also end up with a lot of negative net plays. Does Deshaun Watson always get rid of the football when he should have? Will he chuck the ball towards the sidelines? Now, Mitch Trubisky's also shown a little bit of a penchant to try to make plays too. Don't want to make it just about the more mobile guy being Johnny Manziel. Deshaun Watson isn't that either. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's got a little bit of that gunslinger in him. Is that going to work year over year in the NFL when just like hitters in baseball, just like shooters in basketball, eventually someone adjusts to how you get shots, how you score points, how you score touchdowns, how you hit home runs. There's always an adjustment. They always figure you out to some degree. You can be Michael Vick and bounce back and adjust again, or you can be Colin Kaepernick. And you can never regain that form you had before because defense has figured you out. What's Deshaun Watson going to do? Is he going to be Colin Kaepernick? Is he going to be Ben Roethlisberger? Ben Roethlisberger came into the league on fire. Started to get figured out a little bit. Started to take some shots with all those evasive plays he was trying to make. Got a lot of injuries. Turned Antonio Brown into the best receiver in football. Also had some great targets throughout the rest of his career. What's he going to do? Mitch Trubisky is a little bit of a safer option to me. And we'll see what he does with now resources. The Bears, in a ranking of offensive arsenals, where they take your top running back, receiver, and tight end, the top at every one of those positions on your depth chart, and combine them together and make a composite score. The Bears last year were in the 20s, high 20s at that. This year, with the addition of Trey Burton and Allen Robinson, supplanting Deion Sims and whoever, Cam Meredith probably last year, your top wide receiver, Jordan Howard still being your top back, but another year of experience under his belt where he was successful despite teams being able to put 9 in the box on him. Bears are ranked 9th. Guess who's 8? The Patriots. They have weapons. They have tools. It's up for Matt Nagy now to put Mitchell Trubisky in positions where he can go out and make plays. They do. The Bears can split with the Vikings. The Bears can split with the Packers. They can sweep the Lions. They can win a lot of games where national pundits might be writing them off. If they don't, if they rely on defense, if the offense doesn't click right away, if Mr. Trubisky shrinks underneath the pressure of being the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears, you're going to get swept by all three of those teams. Might split with the Lions. You're starting Packers, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Buccaneers. These first four games of the season will be of paramount importance. Starting with the Packers on Sunday Night Football, then Monday Night Football against the Seahawks. You're in prime time 2 weeks in a row. Then a 3:30 game against the Cardinals and the Buccaneers. If you start 0-2, you better go 2-2 to level it out. Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Bills. Goodness me, you're just playing the whole AFC East? Just getting wrecked on the schedule here. I don't know who decided this one. 815-874-1330 is our question of the day. How many wins in 2018 for you consider the Bears season a success? How many wins? 7, 8, 9, 6. What's the number? It gives me an idea of where your expectations lie. It gives me an idea of how you value this team, where you think the talent level is at. I was listening to the Bill Michaels show. I had someone on where he said there's a sizable gap between the top two teams in the NFC North and the bottom two teams. I don't disagree with that. I don't know if the Bears are ready to compete with those teams consistently, the Vikings and the Packers. There's still some holes on this roster. Linebacker, especially in the inside. Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan are great, but Trevathan's long-term prognosis health-wise. Corner, I still think, is a real problem. I don't think Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller are particularly good, and you paid them both in the offseason. So you have security there. You know who your guys are going to be. That doesn't mean they're good. You can pay a lot of guys. Lots of guys get paid in professional sports that aren't worth a lick. The GMs that don't know any better. On offense, I hope Trey Burton is as good as advertised. I hope he's as versatile, as dynamic, as everyone from Philly tells me he is. Do I know he's going to be? No. The offensive line is still razor thin. Kyle Long has to get healthy. Allen Robinson has to look as good, if not better, than at his best in Jacksonville, which was pretty darn good. He's going to need to be pretty darn good here as well. Borderline elite in the NFL in 2018. Got to hit another break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Jake Logley Show. Sports Fan Radio 1330. More thoughts on Jabari Parker's comments on Derrick Rose that he made yesterday. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Chevy's for less. Chevy's for less. Chevy's for less. That's right. Chevy's are always less at Allen Brown Chevy in Genoa. Allen Brown is your local Chevy dealer. Serving Rockford, Bell.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley here. Thanks for making us part of your day. What's widely considered one of the slowest sports weeks of the year, we are having all kinds of fun. Plenty still has been going on. Plenty still to get to. 815-874-1330, the number to call if you want to pitch in on anything we talk about. Our question of the day today: how many wins does it take for you to consider this Bears season a success? Yes, that's right. The Bears reporting to training camp in Bourbonnais. How many wins for you to consider it successful? 6, 7, 8, or 9 is the numbers we put up on Twitter. And again, we're not talking about what could happen. There could be a 5-win season where the Bears get screwed in 7 games. And so everyone's still excited about the prospects of it, even though you only won 5 games. You don't get probably get another decent draft pick. How many wins does it take for you to say it was a success? And I'm not asking do the Bears have to make the playoffs, because I think we should take our eyes off that ball for the moment. I don't think it's fair to expect this team with two teams like that in their division to make the playoffs. It just seems unfair to me. So with that said, how many wins? I mean, the NFC is stacked. So you have one of those two teams that's going to win your division. The other ones might get a wild card berth. The NFC West, which is also totally stacked with the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks there. The South has the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints. The East has the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. At least the Eagles and the Cowboys, maybe the Giants. The Giants are probably going to be a lot better this year. Packers and Vikings. The South is absolutely stacked. The West is going to bring out. It's not going to be the years have passed when a 7-9 team has made it out from that division. The Rams, the Niners could both win 8-9 games easy. So I take our eyes off the playoffs for the time being. But how many wins does it take for you to feel like that was a successful season? 815-874-1330. The question is up on Facebook. The poll is up on Twitter. You can also text us now, 88474, the new text line. All you have to do is the first time text interact, 88474. Save that number in your contacts, only 5 numbers, 88474, and then you can be part of the conversation. It comes right to our screen here in our studio. I'll pop right up, and I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this capability because a lot of people are in the office, maybe streaming on the computer. They don't really have the option to call in. They don't want to have anyone see that they're on Facebook or Twitter. You can pull out the phone. You can text in 88474. If you want to sign your name, you're certainly welcome to do that. You could also leave it anonymous. You can let us know where you're texting from, what you're doing. Steve on the forklift. John in the truck. Where you're at in town. If you're in Rockford, if you're outside of Rockford, let us know where. We'd love to hear from you. Answer our question of the day, or just ask us another question. Let us know what's going on in your sports world that you want to talk about. It's kind of a gloomy day outside. I think we might be seeing some rain based on what I see with the weather. If I'm taking a look at my radar, what am I going to see here? Man, that looks a little bit ominous, maybe even. Now we might get a shower here in the next half hour or so. Shouldn't be anything severe. We'll keep you updated as to what exactly is coming, what you can expect, whether you need to be wary of the roadways or not. But we've been pretty dry here for the last week or so. We were due for some rain. Looks like that might be coming throughout Friday, Saturday, and so forth. That's our question of the day. How many Bears wins will it take for you to call this season a success? It's up on our social media sites now, 815-874-1330, the number to call, 88474, our brand new text line. All you got to do is text INTERACT the first time. With that said, I got some more thoughts about a conversation we had yesterday. Jabari Parker came to the defense of Derrick Rose when someone asked about the ups and downs of the Derrick Rose era here in Chicago. Whether he feels any pressure. I think the implied question is whether he feels any pressure based on how former Simeon product Rose handled and dealt with that pressure and then bring a new level of success. Parker responded with, there were no lows for Derek. He's a legend. He's one of the best to ever do it. He is an icon in the game. And that's great and all. And our friend Jake called into the show yesterday and had some thoughts about it. And, you know, Jabari Parker, there's pictures of Jabari Parker when he was 12 or 13 with Derrick Rose's arm around him. He came through the same program. He went through the same high school. They were both the stud prospects out of Simeon. When they went through the CPL, everyone watched when they showed up. They were playing in front of big crowds since they were 15. Packed gyms. Derrick Rose went to Memphis for a year. Went to a national championship game. Jabari Parker went to Duke. Played for Coach Gay. He was the anointed one at Duke University. That's not high praise to your game. Now, they also got bounced the first round by like Mercer or whoever it was that year. But still, very similar experiences in that way. They also both went through two very serious knee injuries. If you don't think that contributes, I don't know what to tell you. That matters. That contributed to Jabari Parker never is going to say a bad word about Derrick Rose. And I give him credit for that, to be totally honest with you. He shouldn't be saying anything negative about Derrick Rose because he gets it more than anyone on planet Earth. But he's wrong. Derrick Rose went through plenty of lows, even in his time here in Chicago. Didn't play the 2012-2013 season due to the ACL. Only played in 39 games in 2011 and 2012. But let's also not forget his last year in Chicago, where he played 66 games, 16 points, 4.7 assists, and 3.4 rebounds. Shooting 29% from three and 42% from the field. His advanced stats, his per 36 that year, in 2015 and 2016, his last year with the Chicago Bulls, not much better. 18.5 per 36. Per 100 possessions, his offensive rating, 96. His MVP season, 113. Defensive numbers, surprisingly good, 110, 115. .815 texter tells us, series of losing seasons they have had would show improvement. I would imagine they mean had to show improvement. Don't disagree with you whatsoever. That answering our question of the day, how many wins does it take to consider the season a success? Again, 815 texter telling us that. 88474, the brand new text line. 88474 to answer our question of the day. And that is a great way to interact with us. If there is anything on your mind, all you got to do the first time is text the word interact. And we have you till 5 o'clock. We got to hit a break. We'll wrap up our one when we return. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's time for...
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley here. With you till 5 o'clock, so two more hours upon us after we wrap up hour one here. We've talked a little bit about the Open Championship going on in the world of golf. Tiger Woods falling apart a little bit on the back nine after birding two of his first four holes. Drops a bunch of strokes on the back nine. Three bogeys, one birdie. He finished with an even par 71. So he's sitting five shots behind the leader for the next 3 days. We'll see if he can recover and bounce back. We have lots of stuff coming up in the next 2 hours. I want you to stay tuned right here on your State Line home for sports, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Question of the day, how many wins? Give me a number. How many wins do you want to see from the Bears in order for you to call it successful? The lowest amount of wins that you would call a success. 815-874-1330 if you want to call into the show. 88474, our brand new text line. That's right. All you got to do to sign up, text the word INTERACT to 88474. Then confirm it with the letter Y when they text right back to you. And then you have free reign to reach out to the show with anything and everything that you want to contribute. If you want to answer our question of the day, if you want to ask another question, if you want to make any comments about something we're talking about, that is always an option to you. If that's how we want to give you every lane possible to interact with us. You want to call, you can call. You want to text, you can text. You want to tweet, you can tweet. Comment on Facebook, comment on Facebook. This is what's going to make this whole thing really fun. If we localize the bigger conversations. Yeah, there's lots of places to get sports radio. There's lots of places to get people talking about sports on your phone, on the radio, on the computer. That's everywhere. What does this community think? What do you think? Where else can you have your voice heard as immediately? I challenge nowhere. The immediacy and the response and the range of reach that you get with a place like this, it's unmatched. Unequivocal. The ratio, incredible. Everything you send us can get out to our whole community, our entire state line. All I got to do is reach out through one of those mediums. Do not hesitate to call, text, tweet, Facebook, however you want to get to us. We are here for you. We were talking about Derrick Rose there. The advanced stats, not great at all. I mean, we're talking about highs and lows. His win shares, 2015, 2016, 0.4. They were higher in New York with 3. Now, Cleveland, Minnesota, obvious failures. He was a negative impact on those teams. But compare it to the defensive win share, or the win shares of 13.1 his MVP season. Compare it to a 64-game 2015 season, 3 wins. That's all he was worth. How crazy is that? And someone's going to try to tell me he didn't have lows or that they were exaggerated. Christian Hager wore his D. Rose shirt into the studio yesterday. Sorry, Christian. Lots of lows. As I looked at the numbers last night, because I was walking down the street, was I just misremembering this? Was I just pretending like this was a bigger problem than it actually was? And Derrick Rose was on the outs in Chicago? Why would they trade him if there weren't lows? They traded him for Robin Lopez and Jose Calderon. Does that not smell like desperation to you? Same year, 2015, 2016, Jimmy Butler's win shares, 9.1. 2014, 11.2 while Derrick Rose was out. And then increased him again once Derrick left. 3 times the better player. 3 wins versus 9 wins. That's just a win share. Something basketball players and fans, NBA Twitter lovers, they love to talk about win shares. Trounced him, saying there wasn't a balance in power. Who was the alpha on that team? Jimmy Butler was crushing him. Sports Fan Radio 1330. That's hour one of the show. Hour two, we're going to kick it off. Hearing from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, who met the media. Remember, we're your state line home for the Chicago Bears. We're going to own it more than anyone. You're listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330. Don't go anywhere. Sports Fan Radio 1330 live and on the air with you till 5 o'clock. My name's Jake Logley. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day. 2 more hours of lighting up the radio waves. Tons of stuff still to get to. Bears launching training camp today. The Open Championship going on. Lead story on ESPN right now. And something that I'm sure was getting leaked out before the NBA draft. Michael Porter Jr. has a second back surgery. No timetable for his return. He slid all the way to 14. Not going to lie to you, I was advocating for picking him at 14. And that didn't work out very well. I guess I got to reevaluate what I thought about that one. Went under the knife again, no timetable for his return. All right, question of the day. How many wins does it take for you to consider the Bears season a success? Looking for a number. We got a phone call coming in right now. Might be about that. Might be about something else. I'm cool with whatever. So let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. You're on SportsFan 1330. Who do we have?
Yes, sir. Okay, starting in 2017 and going backwards, number of wins, 3, 3, 6, 5, 8, 10, 8, 11, 7, 9, 7, 13, 11, 5, 7, 4, and in 2001 they were 113.
Okay.
So anything over 3 is golden.
Yeah, that's successful for you? You spent all that money on wide receivers and tight ends. You drafted this quarterback in year 2. You got the coach that was supposed to be an offensive mastermind. Anything above 3 is a success.
Well, for some people, but I'm going to give you a bold prediction right now.
Okay.
10-7.
10 wins for the Chicago Bears. They lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep. And as an addendum, because you're a knowledgeable person, the White Sox wind up over 500 next year.
Next year, the White Sox. Okay, now I could follow you on the Bears thing. Now I know I can't take that first round of the playoffs seriously.
Why is that?
Because no way the White Sox are going to be 500 next year. They're going to keep all those guys in AAA.
What's that got to do with the Bears going into the playoffs?
Because there's a thing on in trial, right, Jake? If I can prove you lied one time, I can dismiss your whole testimony. If I can prove that, if you have one bad take, how can I trust any of the other ones?
Well, here's the deal. In 2001, I picked them to go 13-4.
Okay.
In 2001, their record was 13-4.
I would do cartwheels over 10 wins in a playoff berth in the Chicago Bears. Who are they going to jump in that division? They got to jump either the Packers or the Vikings, or unless they're going to send two wild card teams from the NFC North.
Well, they'll be a wild card team.
Yeah.
Because I think either the Packers or the Vikings will win the division.
But I got to imagine one of those teams would have to slide a little bit.
Well, Tom, it looks like the Packers are going to do the sliding.
Okay.
You know, Rodgers is kind of, what do I want to say? He's not got his mind on the game now because he's with that young Danica lady.
Yeah, who was hosting the ESPYs last night, right?
I guess so. I didn't watch it.
You and me both.
Yeah, so he's distracted.
Okay, I like this.
And I think that's going to cost him.
Listen, if the Bears jump the Packers this year and they make it to the playoffs behind the Minnesota Vikings winning the division, that is a jump start on this rebuild that I couldn't even. So if you have a similar Nostradamus-like quantity from 2001, Jake, I'm gonna give you this show. It's now just the Jake show, and you call in, you host it every single day because I don't know anything.
No, we won't do that. But if I hit on that, Bush Light's on me.
There'll be plenty of Bush Lights floating around. There's no doubt about it. Thanks for calling. Have a great day.
All right, see ya.
Our friend Jake calling in, let us know how many wins the Bears are gonna get this year. Says 10 wins for the Chicago Bears. I love the optimism. I like that. You can call in 815-874-1330. You can text us 88474. All you got to do is press and text us interact the first time, confirm it with the letter Y, and then you have free reign. Send us whatever you want. Any comments on our question of the day, any comments on the show, any questions you want to ask us, texting is always an option. Because Jake has some guts. Jake's got the showmanship. He came in with research. He started listing off the wins for the season. Not everyone can do that. Don't worry. I'm not holding that against you. You can text us. And I'm not going to say your phone number. Might give the area code. But there's lots of people with those area codes, so that's okay. The Bears did report to minicamp today to Bourbonnais, Illinois. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy held a joint press conference. Both made a statement, then both took questions. Here's a piece of that audio. Because we are an affiliate of the Chicago Bears, it came to us courtesy of the Chicago Bears. We're so appreciative of everything that they do for us. We're looking forward to doing some fun things with them this upcoming season. We are your state line home for all sports. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330. Here's Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy at Bourbonnais today.
Hey guys, welcome to camp. I'd like to first start off by thanking ONU and the city of Bourbonnais just for their hospitality. We feel very fortunate to be starting training camp early because of the Hall of Fame game. We've already got some good work in with a portion of our roster. We've had a strong offseason, and now we're excited to carry that momentum into this training camp, and we're ready to go.
I want to follow up with Ryan here and thank everybody here in Bourbonnais, ONU, for supporting us and having us here. It's a good opportunity for us as a team to grow together. It's exciting as a organization, as players, coaches, to be together for the first time. It's a unique time for us because we're finally together for a lot of moments where we can learn together. We're off campus. We're here. There's a lot of bonding that goes on. To me, I look at it almost like a piece of clay for our team. And not our offense, not our defense, not our special teams, but the team in general. And we get to kind of create our own identity and how we want to start this thing. There's going to be a lot of highs and lows throughout the year, throughout training camp. Some adversity, how do we handle that? So we'll do everything we can to have fun with that. I think the neatest part of going off campus and being here, for instance, at Bourbonnais, is the camaraderie that you build together as a team. You have a trust. You build trust in one another, not only on the field but off the field. And then you build friendships too. So these guys are a lot of them have been together here for several months in the off season, and now here we are in apartments hanging out and all day from early morning till late at night, getting to learn each other, see how we play football and how we act as people. So I want to also just kind of commend our players, our coaches, our staff, personnel staff, everyone back at Hallis Hall, the organization, for the support that they've given us from day one. And then a big thanks to all the supportive, passionate Chicago Bear fans that are out there. You know, this is a fun time for us, and we continue to look forward to that support. The last thing I want to bring up before we get to questions is just, I think it was brought up this morning, is the coaches that are here through the Bill Walsh Minority Internship. We have six coaches that are here, and it's something that Coach Reed had actually brought me into this profession through that. And I had an opportunity in 2008. This is 11 years now later, and here I am. And so I had an opportunity as a young guy coming into this thing through that program. And so we have six coaches that are in college and some are in high school that are here to kind of learn the ropes, how we do things. It's a great opportunity for them. So it'll be fun to see them out there. If you see where they're at working with the players, they're doing a great job so far. So I just wanted to say thank you to them as well. So with that, we'll open with questions.
Ryan, what's the status of Roquan Smith?
Yeah, you know, you guys know there's a lot of details that go into those things. You know, we're optimistic he's here soon. It's really part of the process, Rich. Meanwhile, we're rolling forward with the guys that are here, and, you know, that chemistry and continuity is important. So.
You guys obviously are starting early, but is there a time where you really feel like he needs to be here by?
No, there's not a set time. We know it's a process.
Yeah. Are you surprised with Jack about this?
No, Brad, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, Brad, from Eddie Goldman, Adrian Amos, any other players you're hoping to get done with extensions?
Yeah, Moon, obviously we're mindful of the guys in the final year of the contract. We got a handful of them. You know, obviously those contracts we're going to keep internal. A lot of those are really good players, and we're mindful of it as we go forward, and we'll have a plan in place.
Brad, you've watched this thing that we built throughout the spring. What has struck you about Matt's offensive system and his offensive
vision? I guess the first word that comes to mind is creative. You know, it's creative, utilizing all the weapons. You can feel it keeping people off balance, you know, and you can tell the players are having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, where is Mitchell Trubisky right now in development and progress in the offense? What do you hope to see from him in the first couple of weeks he's been tested against?
Well, with the last 3 days with those guys being out here and getting some reps in there, looked sharp, you know, did some good things. And you can just see what a big step from the end of OTAs till out here with some of the rookies, just playing fast, you know, not thinking. Calling plays now is easy. That'll get a little more challenging as we go in camp. But he's making throws now, and he's taking it. We were 101, level 101 early on. Okay, we're slowly getting to 202 with him, and that's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, how do you expect camp to be different for you now as a head coach as opposed to all the other years?
I think the biggest thing going into this is just keeping a pulse on the players in regards to, you know, their health with their legs, their bodies. We're going to have a physical camp. There's going to be some live action that goes on. The guys know that. We told them that going into the off season here, or in the off season headed into the summertime, that it's going to be physical, and we need to callus our team a little bit. So for me as a head coach, what I need to do is not just focus in on the offense and where they're at, but I got to have a pulse on offense, defense, and special teams. And do guys need a water break at a certain time? How's the health status of a certain player? I'll talk that through with Andre Tucker, our trainer. And so the good thing of kind of this rookie camp is for everybody, you get a little taste of that and you kind of see how the process goes, and it fine tunes you up for the rest of the camp.
Man, do you have kind of some markers that will signify what is a successful camp, like some of your goals for this first camp here?
I don't necessarily have any markers. I think the biggest thing that every coach in the NFL will tell you, every person in the NFL, you want to come out healthy. That's a big one there. So you have to know where you're at with that, and there's some luck involved in that. There's some unfortunate injuries, and then there's some ones that happen for certain reasons. So health is the biggest concern for us, but as far as markers, not necessarily.
Speaking of health, do you anticipate any players opening camp on the pup?
No, we should be good to go. There shouldn't be anybody on PUP, and that's a good thing for us. We're going through the physicals right now, but as of right now, we're we feel really good where we're at.
Are some of the guys that couldn't fit together just kind of hold back a little bit during the OTAs, like Allen Robinson and Kyle Long, and will those guys be full force?
Yeah, they'll be going full steam ahead. They'll be ready to go. And you go back to OTAs. The reason we did that was so that they're ready to go now. And so we that's where we're at now. Now it's go time.
For you, why has the relationship with Mitch clicked at this point? What do you like about his personality that makes it mesh with you?
He's very driven, very focused, and that's kind of generic terms, but the kid genuinely cares about the game of football and his position. He wants to be the greatest teammate on this team, and he knows if he does that, he'll make guys around him better. And so out here in rookie camp, he's taking a leadership role. He's just continuing to have arrow up in that world. And so we got to just keep it going. And now we get the vets back in here, and that thing just keeps going. But he's just so focused on this. I don't want to say perfectionism, because sometimes that can be a little paralysis by analysis. But he cares a lot about this game, and we're very fortunate to have him.
Man, what are your expectations at this point?
I'm sorry.
How do you balance keeping the team healthy but also want to have a physical camp? Because obviously injury is an issue for this group the last few years.
Yeah. Well, some of that, in the periods that you go ahead and have the live periods, you got to know really situationally, you got to have a plan for when you're going to do that. And we'll get together as a staff, and we have an idea of when that's going to be. And then the rest of that is every team out there is always they're going to bang, and they're going to have live periods, and you just go with it. You know, it's the guys understand that, and then there's some bumps and bruises. We have a great training staff that gets the guys back on track, and so you roll. And then you know, you also, if there's certain players that you want to be calculated with and understand how you're going to do it, you just, there's a method to the madness. And again, I know it's my first year going through it, and I'll learn with some things, but for the most part, I feel like we have a solid plan.
Brian, what are your expectations at this point for Kevin White?
Yeah, you know, Hub, he's had a good offseason, and just like our team, you know, he needs to carry that momentum into this camp. You know, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. He's very focused right now. But really, expectations, just be the best he can be. You know, focus on himself, which is what he's been doing.
How different is it? So, I mean, basically, he hasn't played for 3 years. He's the 7th overall pick in the draft. It's got to be a little different from what you were hoping for 3 years ago, or maybe not.
I just think we just focus on this year, and again, focused on this offseason in this offense with these coaches and what he's doing right now. And I just feel like there's a lot of momentum right now with his play.
That was Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy meeting the media at Bourbonnais in the opening of training camp. The Bears reporting today. We're going to take a break. We'll hope to hear some more from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy when we return. You're listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330. Here's our friend Dan Patrick with Above the Noise. Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley here with you on the Jake Logley Show. So happy you made us a part of your day. We are your state line home for the Chicago Bears. They report to training camp today. Our question of the day, how many wins will it take this year for you to consider it a success? Jake, friend of the show, called in and told us 8. Or no, he told us 10. That was his prediction. Well, he also said anything more than, what did he say? 3 has to be a success, since that's what they've strung together in recent years. You'd have to consider it more than that. Anything more than that is candy. But he predicted 10, 7 more than what he would accept. It's a sizable difference right there. But we're hearing from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, who met the media at Bourbon A today. We're playing some to start the hour. I want to play some more for you now. Here's Ryan Pace answering a question from David Haw, the Chicago Tribune.
I mean, ideally, yeah, we'd want him here. And, you know, Matt touched on the continuity we're building right now and getting away for camp and the benefits of that. But I think we also understand, you know, this happens. This isn't necessarily abnormal around the league. You know, it's happening. It is sometimes part of the process. We're very optimistic that he'll be here very soon. But it is kind of what it is right now.
Clarifying, that was talking about Roquan Smith, who has yet to report for training camp. Let's hear more from the media.
Ryan, what were your impressions of him through the spring?
Everything we thought, Rich. I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's an extremely talented player, but all the intangibles that he brings to the table are also off the charts. So when we talk about identifying that guy that could potentially be that bell cow on defense, he has those type of traits.
Ryan, you guys haven't had the most physical camps here since you showed up. How do you feel about him with more live and what that's going to do for the team and maybe evaluation?
Yeah, hey, yeah, we're a young team, Brad, you know, with a new offensive system going in. And I do agree with the philosophy of sometimes you have to build callus. You know, you have to build that up. So it will be a physical camp, and we welcome that, you know, and so we'll look forward to seeing that out there.
Matt, what are you most curious to see in Allen Robinson as you get him full speed for the first time?
Well, again, just seeing him out here early on here the last couple of days is just his mental ability to get by the trust factor of running certain routes. And I think, you know, when you have that type of injury, a lot of it does come down to the mentality of, are you okay? Are you 100%? So we'll know that right away when he gets out here. You throw the pads on, he's playing. He's done everything he could possibly do to this point to get to where he's at. He's rehabbed really hard to get to this point, and now he's here. And so mentally, he's in a good spot. Physically, he's in a good spot. We just got to put it together now. And the other thing with that is he needs to start building that relationship with Mitch, right? That's a big part, too.
What does he need to be for you in this offense to really be that guy that is a go-to guy for you?
Well, for us, I think going into this is he's somebody that can play, you know, multiple positions. He's not a one position guy. He can do a lot of things really well. When we went in through this free agency process, we talked about how he's a big physical receiver. He's a red zone threat. He's good versus press. He has experience. So we know he has all that. I think right now the biggest thing that we'd like to do coming out of this camp is having him and Mitchell just create that timing and that connection between the two, because that's going to be important.
What did you do personally with your short summer to just kind of get ready for the first?
Went back to Kansas City, got some family time with my boys. I watched a few baseball tournaments, which was good to do, and just get away for a little bit. Took a small trip away on vacation with the family, came back here, had a few days in my house, and now we're here. Here we are. So it went quick, but it was good and had good time, and it's exciting to be back here.
That was the capitalizing with Allen being able to play multiple positions. The sense is that they play the same position. Well, how do we work them together, and are there scenarios where they're both on the field together? Are we?
Oh, absolutely. No. The one thing you'll see here in this offense, Moon, is that we have guys all over the place in different spots. And so Ryan did a great job of looking at these certain free agents that we went after, some of these draft picks that we went after, and getting guys that are football smart, they have a high football IQ, and they're able to play multiple positions. When you can do that, that helps you out as a offensive play caller to be able to move guys around. Is it going to happen overnight to every single receiver that comes into this offense? No, but we do a pretty good job, I feel like, at balancing of where they're at position-wise, what they can and can't handle. And then we try to fit them into the process.
Ryan, what's the position, if any, are cloudy for you as you enter here? What, you know, position groups in particular are you interested in seeing how it sorts out?
Yeah, Rich, I mean, that's the beauty of camp, right, is the competition. And the more we improve our roster, the better the competition. So, cloudy might not be a right word, but it's more just the excitement of seeing this, these battles play out. And there's obviously there's certain ones that are a little bit more competitive than others, and that's going to be fun to see. But, I mean, again, this is just the start. We got five preseason games, which is huge from an evaluation standpoint.
What positions is it?
I mean, just to touch on it, I mean, tight ends would be one for sure, you know, that there's just a lot of talent at that position. No.
Brian, you said optimistic. You were going to try to talk about what makes you feel that way? Is it because these impasses are common, or is it because it's something in the negotiation that you think you're not following?
I think these are rather common and somewhat predictable, you know. And, again, we got great relationships with their agents. We've worked with them on a number of deals. And it's just working through this process.
Do you sense that he wants to be here?
I'm sure he's dying to be here, knowing him as a player and him as a football player.
Yeah, we're about a dozen questions. I don't think anybody's asked you about the defense yet. How are you now balancing your focus on both sides of the ball? How will you approach that?
Yeah, it's getting a little easier for me. Things are slowing down a little bit as far as the on the offensive side, which allows me to go over and watch the defensive drills or slip into a meeting here or there. And this is a great time right now in training camp to get more of that done and to have more discussions one-on-one with Vic and the thing, and just to talk through, because one of the benefits of that is me being able to be helped out from him on stuff that he sees, and then I can help him out with things that I see with the defense. And you just communicate, you collaborate, and this is an ongoing process. It'll continue to be this way, and I'll step in when I can, and then at nighttime when we have our staff meetings, when that's over, we get back together and talk. And so I think the biggest thing is open communication, and then me as well finding time, which is a must, and I've been doing it already, is to watch the defensive side of the ball, to watch the special teams on video. You know, for my whole career, it's only been offense. So now I get to flip on the tape and start evaluating and watching the defense.
Is there anything specific about the defense that's on the top of your to-do list? I'm sure you got offensive focuses. What about you?
No, maybe as we get going, I can answer that question down the road here. But right now, nothing that stands out.
Ryan, I've actually put so much emphasis on the quarterback position, Mitch. Is there ever a time when you say, step back and say, whoa, this kid's 23 years old, or, you know, is this too much? Are we putting too much on him?
No, there's not, because it's such a valuable part of the puzzle. But that's our job as coaches to kind of corral that and make sure that we take care of him in certain ways. So we're teachers on that field. We're not yellers and screamers. That's not how we teach that position. We coach them, and then we try to teach them on the whys. And so I don't like the word expectations. That gets used a lot with players, with teams, et cetera. For him, we just want him to control what he can control, listen to what we're teaching him, and then go out there and play. And so this is something that the first time we got there and play a real game, you know, in Lambeau, and we play that first regular season game, there's going to be hiccups. He's going to learn from that. And then we just continue to grow as the games go by. But Mitch can handle all of it. He's a very mature kid for that age, and we understand that, and he does not want us to pull back on him because of that. He wants us to load him up, see what he can handle, and that's what we've done.
Brian, are you comfortable with the depth you have at rusher right now, or is that an area you might still look at?
You know, Adam, you know, we did a couple things in the offseason to address that. Obviously, getting Leonard back healthy is important, and signing Aaron Lynch and re-signing Acho, and then addressing it in the draft. So we like the guys that are there. I think if you ask any NFL team, they're always going to want more pass rush. Some of that can be generated from our defensive line as well. So to say we're comfortable there, I think we're always trying to improve, especially in pass rush.
Ryan, with Adam Shaheen, from what you saw last year, what are kind of the expectations for where he can grow in his game and training camp this year?
I think as we've seen the OTAs unfold and him in this new offense, I feel like you can never have enough good tight ends. And we've talked about the U tight end and the Y tight end and the importance of those positions to our offense. And I think we got a lot of different pieces there. They all have different strengths, size, blocking, route running, special teams. They all fit together really well. It's a really competitive group. But with Shaheen, just his size, his route running for a guy that's that big, his catching radius, his ability to go up and get the ball in tight coverage. Those are all attractive traits. And, again, he's still a young player from a relatively small school that we still feel has upside and is still growing.
Man, you mentioned the play call is eventually getting challenging for pitch. How do you sort of map that out or balance it out, like when to ramp it up and knowing it's sort of a long process for when you kind of get this offense down?
Yeah, well, it's all about confidence early on, so get them some confidence and then start feeding these guys more complex plays, more complex thoughts and ideas, see how they digest it, and then pull back. It's very similar to OTAs. This is kind of our laboratory right now where we're able to put plays out there, see how they work, what we like, what we don't like. We communicate it behind closed doors as we watch tape. And so it's something that's worked for us and something I've been a part of as far as how you go about the amount of plays that you install. And then the other thing, too, that we all believe in here as a staff is situational football. We need to be situationally smart in all three phases. And so we're gonna harp on that. Every one of our guys on this team are gonna understand that they need to be smart football players. And we're gonna use examples throughout the league where things have gone down and where you could either, hey, this is a really good job or this was a poor job. How do we, you know, and the whys of how do we get better at that? So it's kind of a something for us where we just balance it out.
Right, so that's 30 years.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think, you know, one of the traits we look for in players is, you know, durability and availability. And, you know, Leonard's a very talented player with a lot of natural pass rush ability. But in order for him to reach that production, he needs to be on the field. So I know he's worked a lot on his body. He's worked a lot on his techniques. And so we just feel if he can stay healthy, the production's going to be there.
Matt, it's your first training camp, unfortunately, to have, you know, an extra week. How do you hope
Well, really, for us as players and as a staff, this is kind of the big picture of it. That extra game just gives you one more game of going through the game procedures. So when you're out there, you go to the hotel the night before. You get up in the morning and you get to get on the buses and get to the game. You have the pregame warm-up. You get to see kind of how it goes. For us as coaches, how does the sideline go? How does the guys up in the box, where are they at? How's the communication process? So you get one extra game to kind of tune you up for the regular season. And so we look at it as it's a positive thing for us. And again, for the players, they have that extra week here. So we as coaches need to balance that out with their health and understand practice-wise where they're at. And then just give them the greatest chance possible to get reps. These young guys, it's going to be good for them too, right? For the rookies and for some of the backups, they're going to have probably more reps because of it, which is something that's good for them, and it helps us evaluate.
What's more valuable, the extra week of practice or an extra game where maybe it's more young guys on the field than anything else?
In regards to just having the fifth week of preseason versus... Okay.
To get you ready for the Packers, what helps more, the extra game or the week of practice?
Probably both. I don't think there's a right answer to that. I don't know. Maybe I can tell you next year. I don't know right now. So we'll see. I would guess both. I don't have the right answer for that.
Your defensive philosophy, if you cover this in general, but is it do you prefer a blitzing defense? Do you want a bend but don't break? Other than just getting the ball in good field position, your own philosophy of defense?
Well, I think it's important, number one, that you just keep points off the board. That's the biggest thing. So I don't care if you, whatever you do, if you blitz a lot or if you bend but don't break and you just eliminate those. I think touchdowns is obviously huge. If you can hold teams to field goals, you have a good chance of winning the game. But that's to each their own. You know, Vic has his own philosophy. It's worked. He's done a great job with that over the years. The history shows that. So I'm in favor of whatever Vic wants to do. I like that.
Brian, to what extent are you keeping your fingers crossed that you stay healthy through camp into the season? Or do you know, is there some kind of certainty or just feeling that with the changes you've made, you're going to be able to avoid the issues you've had in the past?
You know, I think as time has gone on, we've added depth to our roster. We've also gotten younger as a team. And I think, yeah, you're right. We've made some tweaks to different areas of our organization. There's tweaks to our schedules. But we also understand that, you know, this is a physical game, and some of that's inevitable, and some of that's going to happen. And so we need to have depth at certain positions to protect ourselves from that. And we can't come into this concerned about that all the time. You know, like as Matt said, we have to have a physical camp, and we have to build callus because it's going to be a physical, grueling season. It's just part of our game.
That was Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy meeting the media in Bourbonnais today for the first time for the preseason. We're officially out of the offseason, ladies and gentlemen. Our question of the day, how many wins does it take for the Bears to be a successful, have a successful 2018 season? You can call in 815-874-1330. You can text us 88474. All you got to do is press interact the first time. Text us interact to 88474. Confirm with the letter Y. And then you have the free line to us anytime from anywhere in our great nation. All you got to do, 88474, interact the first time. Confirm that you want to be in the club. And then we got you on lock whenever you want to contribute to the question of the day, anything we're talking about. I got lots more Bears things to talk about. One, something a San Francisco quarterback did that I would relate to Mitchell Trubisky in order for me to figure out how much of a problem fans should have. Then, secondly, question on Facebook from a commenter, our friend Dale, got me thinking about how, just how confident I am in Mitchell Trubisky with a cut-to-the-core question. Got lots to talk to on Bears throughout the rest of our show. Facebook, the question is up. You want to comment there. The poll is up on Twitter if you'd rather just cast your vote. 6, 7, 8, 9 are the four options I gave out to you. I think that's kind of the range we're working with for the Bears. Less than that, I think, would be an unequivocal disappointment. More than that would be an unrelenting success. Maybe more than 9 would be an unrelenting success, but I put 9 up there as an option as well. I'm going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more after this on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. If it's time to consider assisted
sighthearing.org.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley here. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, 3:40 in the afternoon. Good to be with you today on Sports Fan Radio 1330, your home for State Line Sports. Question of the day, how many wins will it take for you to consider the 2018 Bears season a success? We got 9 from Ryan. Also posted one of the greatest Jay Cutler gifs I think I've ever seen in my life. Just to smell the playoffs would be nice, according to Ryan. Dale says 7. But he's a Vikings fan. And I'm sorry, Dale. I think you're in for a rough ride when it comes to Kirk Cousins. I just can't believe that guy's good. I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe that you like that guy is going to be a great quarterback in the league. I think he is either the best bad quarterback or the worst good quarterback. He's one of those two things, and I can't figure out which one it is, and it makes me angry when I think about it. So I can't think about it for too long. That defense better be good. It better be so freaking good. All three levels were excellent last year. Better not take any step backs at any one of those levels. Dale also asked me a question. What do you think about Mitchell Trubisky as a backup fantasy quarterback option? And my instincts said, heck no. And then I thought to myself, Jake, if you're willing to say no Tim being a backup fantasy option, how bullish are you on his future? And I guess I'm still in wait and see. It made me realize, Dale, if you're out there listening, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for listening. It made me think about just how fragile my trust and belief in the Bears is. Because I want to believe they're great. I want to believe they're primed for greatness. I want to believe that Mitch Trubisky is going to be a franchise quarterback. I want to believe Matt Nagy is going to be a great coach. That Ryan Pace's plan will come to fruition and succeed to the level that he envisions. But when someone asks me the question and puts me in the position to be the know-it-all, and my integrity and knowledge is on the line, am I willing to make that step to say, yeah, bet on the Bears? No. I told him to sit Mitch Trubisky. Let him sit on waivers. See if someone else drafts him. Now, if you're drafting, if you're playing a fantasy league, Dale, if you're from Minnesota and you're with Viking friends, maybe Mitch Trubisky will make it. The problem with, if you're playing with guys in this neck of the woods, Mitch Trubisky's going to get drafted because some guy's going to want to sit on him as the backup option. I say let them do that. I think you got to let someone else take that risk. Because I don't feel confident drafting him, knowing there could be other guys on the board. One of those rookies might be there to stash. Tyrod Taylor is going to start originally in Cleveland, maybe. Maybe sit on Baker Mayfield instead of Mitchell Trubisky, because he's going to get a lot more chances to wheel and deal. Maybe A.J. McCarron's going to start in Buffalo, but it might not take long for Josh Allen to get in there. Maybe take that risk instead. Because it might be lower risk. Because those guys might be sitting there on the waivers. They might not get drafted because they're not going to start week one. Am I willing to tell you you shouldn't use anything more than your last couple round picks on Mr. Trubisky? No. If you want to in those later rounds because you like what you saw last year in some games, yeah, roll the dice. But I can't endorse it. I can't tell you it's going to be a great pick. Because I don't know that. I'm really, really nervous just to tell you that's a great pick right out of the gate. And that makes me think about just how confident are you, Jake? Just how confident are you that this is going to be the guy? You said he's a long-term. Yeah, he's a long-term play. Do I know if he's going to make his biggest drive from year one to year two? No. Maybe the biggest drive comes from year two to year three. We'll see how the incremental progress plays out. The point is, I want to see what jump he makes from year one to year two, because that's a total unknown. So I'm not willing to draft and think it's going to be great unless I'm in the deepest of deep leagues. Unless I'm in a really good 12-teamer where people are really trying to make some big bets, or I'm in a 14-team league. If you're in a 14-team league, yeah, and you get an elite quarterback, you're not sit on quarterback forever. You get one of the top ones if you start the QB slide in the first part of the game. We'll see what happens. But Dale, you did make me think about just how much belief do I really have? Because if you're near two, where Wentz and Goff made their jumps, I'm not willing to say, yeah, go make that pick. How much are you really believing, kid? I told you I could find 9 wins on the Bears' schedule when it was released. I did. Do I think 7 is more likely? Yeah. Do I think 8 would be a success? I do. Would 9 be phenomenal? Yeah. But I think 8's a success. Coming from being a bad team last year, worst offense in football statistically, the eye test wasn't much better, I think 8 wins would be an unequivocal success. And no, I don't think you draft Mitch Trubisky. We're going to grab a break. Don't go anywhere. We're wrapping up hour 2 when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's time for the Sports Fan.
Sports Fan Radio 1330 live and on the air. Jake Logley here. Thanks for making us part of your day. Wrapping up hour number 2. Here on 1330 AM. Remember, you can also stream us live through sportsfanrockford.com, our brand new website. Again, sportsfanrockford.com, the old URL. If you have a bookmark, we'll still forward there. But if you want to update your bookmarks, that is where you can find us. Also, you can stream us on your Alexa devices. Coming off of Prime Day, I know so many of you ordered your Echoes, your Echo Dots, all of those types of things. We got you covered on that front, too. All you got to do is enable the Sports Fan Rockford skill. You go to skill in your Amazon dashboard and then enable Sports Fan Rockford. And then all you got to do is say, hey, Alexa, play Sports Fan Rockford. And it'll come right up and it'll be done. And you can stream us live through that device as well. So tons of ways to get interactive with us. Phone line 815-874-1330. Our brand new text line 88474. That's 88474. All you have to do, the first time you text us, tell us interact. That's right. Text the word interact to 88474. Then confirm it with the letter Y, which it'll prompt you to do. And then you will be in the club. You can send us any text that you want. You can let us know what's going on in your sporting world. You can answer our question of the day. You can ask us any other questions that are on your mind. But first, you do have to text interact to 88474. That's just the first time. After that, you are totally in the clear, and you can be in the club and answer any questions that way. If you're at work, if you're somewhere where talking on the phone is impossible, you don't like social media very much, we got you covered there. If you are a fan of the social media, if that's how you like to stay connected, you can find us on all the major platforms as well. On Facebook, Sports Fan Radio 1330. On Twitter, @SportsFan1330 is the handle, or just Sports Fan 1330 in the search bar. It will take you there as well. And you can be sending tweets to us. You can reply to tweets. You can hit us with a retweet. Hopefully hit us with a follow. And we will be interacting with you that way. Tons of ways to get in touch with us. All you got to do, get on your mobile device, get on your computer, get on your tablet, and we will have you covered on that front as well. We've had a loaded second hour, heard from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, who met the media for a long time, took a lot of questions, which I am impressed by, impressed with them, that they were willing to sit there and take all the questions. They had talked about Roquan Smith, and they tried to brush it under the rug, saying this stuff happens. He's expected to be there at some point. I mean, they're talking about minutiae at this point. Talk about guaranteed money, signing bonuses, things like that, because your salary is kind of locked in based on where you're drafted. So I'm interested if we find out what the holdup is. I'd be interested to find that out. Because Roquan Smith has already started behind the eight ball with me, even though he's billed as maybe the most immediate impact player out of this draft. Mel Kiper said he could lead the NFL in tackles this year. Now, Mel Kiper is not the guy I trust with evals and predictions, i.e. Jimmy Clausen, but it is an interesting point of view from a guy that's done it for a long time, saw a lot of linebackers, saw the position evolve. But Roquan Smith also had stuff stolen out of his car that he left unlocked, his Beamer, in a bad neighborhood in Georgia, and it was full of shoes, headphones, memorabilia, things like that. That's not a great sign and not a great endorsement for your intelligence, I'll tell you that right now. So this is kind of another notch on Roquan. Now, I also rarely begrudge guys for holding out. When it's time to get paid, it's time to get paid. There's no love in this game. But when you're a rookie, you kind of want to prove to your teammates that you want to show up, you want to be there for all the important things. The open to training camp is an important thing. That's one of those things that you usually don't miss unless you are a veteran that's looking to make your nut. So I'm interested to find out what happens on that front with Roquan Smith when he shows up. Hopefully it's very, very soon. Then get all that stuff resolved. But I mean, I also respect the moxie. I mean, you're already a pro. You just became a pro and you're already showing that there's no loyalty in this game. You got to respect that part of it too. You're already showing that, hey man, I'm happy to be in your organization. I'm glad I was drafted to Chicago. I like it here. I think I can have a great career here. But if you're not going to give me the respect, I'm already going to gear up to move down the road in 4 years when my rookie contract comes up. Something to be said for that. And credit to his agent, whoever's representing him. Hope he gets there very soon. Hopefully Ryan Pace ponies up whatever he's got to pony up, because I think this kid could be a special player if he does all the right things on the field and off the field to get himself prepared. Learn from Vic Fangio, too, because that guy knows something about linebackers. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Second hour of the show. Hour three, we get a little wacky. Wacky story from San Francisco and California that I'm applying to the Chicago Bears. How nervous would you be if your quarterback was taking dates with adult film actresses? We'll tell you about it for the start of hour four and hour three, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hi, this is Mike Barr with Crimson Point Senior Living. It's time to consider assisted living for a family member.
Sports Fan Radio 1330 is live and on the air for our third and final hour of our radio show. My name is Jake Logley. It's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us on this slightly gloomy Thursday. Turned a little bit overcast. I guess I haven't been looking around. I got my back turned to the window today as Christian Hager is out. But I thought there was going to be raining a little bit more. I thought I would have noticed. But now that sun's starting to make a fight towards coming back out, Sandy Hollow Golf Course looks absolutely beautiful today. Looks like it just broke up right on top of us. Really just dissipated that storm cell that was supposed to be moving through. So that is a nice break for us. Apparently lots of rain coming tomorrow, seeing rotation up to the northwest of us. Why am I talking like a meteorologist? Why am I doing that? What do I know? It could rain, it could not. You know what I mean? Let's pretend like... I think the forecast does call for heavy chances of rain tomorrow. It does. But... I'm not going to pretend like I can guarantee it or guarantee that it won't, but that is the forecast. I'll just relay that information to you. A funny story. Well, is it a funny story? I'm not sure. But an interesting one, I think. One that has me thinking. Because 2018, modern era, lots of things destigmatized. Not everything, though. Because a story of a franchise quarterback, something an NFL franchise has thrown a lot of investment into, just got a little bit of curveball today. Does an NFL team have the right to tell you who you can and cannot date, to morally object? Or object to who you're dating on any kind of moral or ethical basis, on any kind of PR basis, any kind of public relations perceptions, based on what now the conversation will become in this place for the next week and a half to 2 weeks, to up until Jimmy Garoppolo meets the media. I'm talking about San Francisco, talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, an Illinois native. Oh, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. Handsome kid, Jimmy Garoppolo. Even in California. Even out in L.A. Devilishly handsome. New quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers. Heavy price to get him. Had to give up lots of draft compensation if they wanted to acquire the second-round draft pick of the New England Patriots. Spotted in L.A. last night with, I'm trying to think of the most sensitive way to say this, an adult film actress. Well-endowed, we'll say. Noticeable by her features. Don't recognize the name. Not even something I'm going to say. But here's the thing. 2018, right? We've come a long way. People have the right to date whoever they want to date. Their personal lives are not any of our business. But if I'm the GM, if I'm the owner, if I'm the coach, if I'm the quarterback, in the world of TMZ, you're in LA. Who you date will not be a secret. You have a recognizable face. She has recognizable something else. It will not be a shock when the two puzzle pieces come together. Now that I'm thinking about it, that is an unintended but appreciated pun. It beckons the question. Do you, as an organization, have any right to say, hey, Jimmy, I know you have a personal life. It's very little of our business, but now we're going to have to deal with the fallout from this. I don't have a problem with it. You can date whoever you want. You can have as much fun as you want. But now it's starting to infringe on how we can market you. You're not the wholesome Midwest kid anymore. You're not the humble, just happy to be here young man. Now you're superstar. Now you're Hollywood. Now you're in TMZ for the same reason Drake is. We don't really want to market you the same way that Drake markets himself. I don't think that's our lane. Does the organization have any right to say that? If you're a Bears fan, if Mitch Trubisky was strolling around Chicago restaurants with a famous adult film actress, would you have any objection to that? Would that be a problem for you? The fact that your kid might be idolizing this quarterback. Is that a shot against whether you'd want to base your kid's admirations after him? Is that any of your business? Of course it isn't, but we're talking about it, aren't we? I'm trying to relate it here locally. 815-874-1330, the phone number. If you want to do this under the veil of anonymity, this is why our text line exists, 88474. Did the organization, do you as a fan have any right to object if your franchise quarterback is now taking porn stars out on dates? Adult film actresses, I apologize for being crude. I hope we've evolved enough that it's that we just kind of say, whatever. I mean, not what I would choose to do, but all right. I'd hope that's what everyone says, but I don't know. How conservative is this community? Where are our morals, ethics, judgments sitting on July 19th of 2018? I don't know. If Mr. Trubisky was doing it. Again, pun not intended, but appreciated. Mr. Trubisky was rolling around with porn stars. Pun not intended, but appreciated. Rolling around town, sickos. Would that be a problem for you? I mean, organizationally, it's a big problem. Because when all the stuff is supposed to be about football, all the questions, hey, Jimmy, what'd you do in the offseason to get better? What'd you do to improve your throwing accuracy? Did you work out with the guys? What'd you change in your training? What did you do here? How excited are you to get back on the field? All those easy questions that you're supposed to get on the opening day of training camp. Now it's all going to be about who you're dating. And now you got to go talk to your parents about it. And now you got to field all kinds of questions that are personal and none of your business, and none of the media's business. But it's something you got to deal with now. It's the same principle as what that the NFL should have no say over your politics. None whatsoever. They should have no say on what who you vote for, what stances you take publicly, what you believe in. But as soon as it affects their bottom line, that becomes an issue. Now, luckily, San Francisco, pretty liberal city. Very liberal community. Maybe one of the most. Maybe that fan base has a very small percentage of it that is the Midwestern conservative that I'm picturing right now that says, well, no quarterback of mine's dating a porn star. Maybe it's a non-issue. But if it happened here, would it be? Would that be allowed? Would that fly? Would that be something we forget about? Mitch Trubisky throws one interception week one. Well, maybe if he wasn't rolling around town with all these adult film actresses, maybe he'd focus more on football, connecting with Alan Robeson, whatever the guy's name is. Maybe this wouldn't be a problem. Again, I don't have any problems with it, but this could become an issue. 815-874-1330 if you want to call. 88474 if you want to text. Tweet us at SportsFan1330. Facebook, our question of the day. How many wins does it take for this season to be considered a success? I say the answer is 8. Ryan Arik told us 9. Dale said 7, who's a Vikings fan. I think the number is 8. I'm not just splitting the difference. That's the number I came in with today. If you go 500, first year under Matt Nagy, the great division, NFC is stacked. You're going to need some help in free agency with some of these guys leaving, going to the AFC teams. I mean, the NFL, it seems like free agents in the NFL are way smarter. Because in the NFL, guys saw the best team in the league, the organization that's just head and shoulders above everyone else, and they sprinted away from it a million miles an hour. They see what the Patriots are doing and say, well, I'm not going to an AFC team. At best, I can go to the AFC championship. I'm going to go to the NFC and try to join a building program there because there's no perennial powerhouse. Now in the process, they built like 6 of them. In the NBA, the best player in the world sees the greatest team ever assembled on one conference, then he goes to the same darn conference. How dumb do you have to be to do that, huh? Just throws me for a loop when I really start to think about these types of things. But for the Bears, how are you going to say you're going to jump one of the Vikings or Packers? There's a sizable talent gap between you and those two teams. Sizable. How rounded out their rosters are. How are you going to tell me with any degree of certainty that you're better than the secondary teams in the NFC South? One of the Panthers, Saints, and Falcons is going to win that division. Probably the Saints. Falcons and Panthers are still darn good football teams. Oh, and by the way, everyone thought the Buccaneers were going to be good last year, and they flopped. Now, Jameis Winston's going to miss 4 games, so that kind of takes a quarter of their season away. But how are you going to bank on beating whatever team finishes second in that division? They sent 3 teams to the playoffs last year, if I'm remembering correctly. The NFC West has the Rams are probably going to win the division. The Niners think they're going to be great as long as the Jimmy Garoppolo thing doesn't blow up. Seahawks are tanking with all their defense either retiring, going other places, or demanding trades. And the Cardinals are not, I mean, they've tried their best. I give the Cardinals credit. They're trying so hard. They lost Bruce Arians. They are trying their best to fill a quarterback slot. David Johnson still can't stay healthy. Can't count on them to be anything. The East still has the Eagles, who are still going to be great, even if Carson Wentz isn't ready week one. Nick Foles is going to be able to manage the game and get them to at least above 500, just barely, for whatever amount of time Wentz misses. You also have the Cowboys, who didn't reach their potential last year. Zeke Elliott in and out of the lineup. He's going to be there consistently. Dak Prescott, I still have belief in. Don't have Dez Bryant, but he was more of a distraction than it was worth. The Giants are going to be better. Where's the path to the playoffs for the Bears? There's no path unless you just win, like Jake said, 10 games. And I, as much, I would chug a million Busch Lights if they won 10 games and made the playoffs. I don't see that as a remote possibility. I just don't. I don't think that's possible for the Chicago Bears in 2018. Is it possible in the coming years? Absolutely. I think the ceiling is only going up after this year. This is not a win now mentality for the Bears. This is a win maybe if you're the Bears. This is a jumpstart year. There was bare bones in that building 3 years ago, and they're building it from the ground. And they drafted considerably better than they have under previous regimes. You got a coach that, listen, everyone's excited about coaches in year one. Everyone thinks and was sold by reporters that come on to radio shows after a guy gets hired that you've got the next greatest coach in NFL history. We believed it with Mark Trestman. How'd that work? Going into the Mark Trestman area, everyone was fired up. Oh, finally an offensive coach. No more of that lovey ball. No more of that run, get off the bus, run the football, turn the ball over, play great defense, and manage games. How much would you have missed that? How much were you missing that the last few years? 8, 9, 10 wins, 11 wins from Lovie Smith teams. Got to a Super Bowl. Does that even smell like a remote possibility right now? Super Bowls for the Chicago Bears? It doesn't. You believed it when John Fox came in. Oh, old school football coming back. No more of that softy stuff. No more mixing position groups in the locker room. This is old school. John Fox going to bring the Bears back to respectability. Offense wins in the NFL. Can't get by with an average defense and terrible offense. Now you got Matt Nagy, brightest young mind in all of football. Yeah, well, the string of young head offensive-minded head coaches, you were 2 years behind the curve on that one. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Doug Peterson, they all have jobs. Maybe you missed the boat. That's a legitimate possibility. We'll see what happens. Maybe this is the end of the wave. Maybe this is the idle sea. 815-874-1330. 88474, the text line. 815-874-1330, the phone line, by the way. Facebook, the question's up there if you want to comment with Sports Fan Radio 1330. Red and blue lettering, Jake Logley Show logo in the bottom right corner. How many wins does it take this season for the Bears to be considered a success? Got a poll going on Twitter right now where we asked the question 6, 7, 8, or 9. I think that's the fair range, 6 to 9 wins. How many does it take for you to think this season was a success? Because success is a relative word. The Bears have not won a lot of games, but there is some reason to believe that there could be a run of wins here. And I'm interested to see where the results are pouring in. I got 50% of the vote on 8 wins, 33% saying 7, 17% saying 9. 17% of you think it's going to take 9 wins for this Bears season to be considered a success. That's a lot. I think 8's fair, 7's acceptable, 6, I agree with you. In July, we shouldn't be thinking about 6-win seasons. We should be more optimistic than that, no matter what the team looks like. I thought that team last year could win 7. What the dummy I am. Also some injuries, though. Sports Fan Radio 1330, we're going to hit a break. I had the chance to talk with a very special, inspiring person at the Rockford Pro-Am. She starts at the Barbersaw with the men today. I want to replay that interview to remind you that this is going on over the weekend and that this is a person that deserves our support. She is Brittany Linscombe. She joined us Monday. I want to replay for you when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Don't go anywhere. Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley here. Thanks for making us part of your day. We appreciate you so much. Got a lot going on in our state line, including coming off the heels of the Rockford Pro-Am, which is one of the coolest events that we do. Out there this year, and in my opinion, carrying the biggest gallery. I don't think it was even close. Who had the biggest following out there on the course throughout the day was Brittany Linscombe, who golfs on the LPGA Tour, the biggest hitter on tour, and through a sponsor exemption, is playing at the Barbasol, the men's tournament, the PGA, this weekend. One of the coolest things that's going on. And she joined us for about 10 minutes. on Monday, and I want to replay that for you so you can be as inspired as I was talking to her to maybe tune in, watch her play a little bit, and root for as hard as Christian and I are going to. Brittany Bam Bam Lincecum joining me and Christian of the Rockford Pro-Am on Monday. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330. Take a listen.
Dream was just on with us a little while ago. Christian, we make sure we got the mic on there. Perfect, we do. She is Brittany Lincecum wrapping up her round here at the Rockford Pro-Am. She got the chance to play with a few folks from our community, or they got the chance to play with her, I should say. And she's one of the hottest stars in the whole sport of golf right now, because Brittany, next weekend, you'll be in prep after today probably, heading down to the Barbasol and play there on the PGA Tour. So first off, thanks for coming to Rockford. It's such a pleasure to have you, and it's such a big point of pride for our community. It's great to see you here today. How are you doing?
I'm great. I love this Pro-Am. This is the only event of the season where we get to hang out with the guys a little bit.
Yep.
And just the format, super laid back. You know, fans get to walk in the ropes, get to ask a few questions throughout the day, and I think it gives them an insight of kind of how we do our job, which is pretty cool. They don't really get to see that very often. So that's a very interactive day, and I love it.
Well, and you just hit the nail on the head there. I was talking with Adam, who was working this whole field, getting everything set up, and we were talking about how big it is to have you out here, because as I walk and see the biggest gallery coming down 18, and then secondly, and of course, I'm sure you notice everyone else out there with TV cam, all the little girls that are out there in golf shirts and watching you play, and the point of pride and the inspiration that you're giving so many people in our community, especially young girls. I mean, that's got to be something that you're walking around with every day, very, very proud of, and rightfully so. And it's probably very real when you come do something like this where they're walking right behind you.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime I can inspire a child, especially a female child, it's a cool thing. You know, I love playing golf. I'm very blessed to do what I do, but just to inspire a kid is a pretty cool feeling. So yeah, we had a couple little girls out there with me, and they had just taken some lessons, and they're part of the LPGA girls golf program, and mm-hmm. they had their little hats on. I mean, how does that not put a smile on your face? I mean, it's so cool.
Absolutely. It's going to make for, you know, a phenomenal photos for the paper tomorrow, and everything like that. It's so happy to be here, and so happy that you're here to make that happen. Let's talk a little bit about your journey to get to this point. Like we talked about, inspiring young girls to take up this game. Who inspired you to start playing golf, and when did that happen in your life?
I started playing when I was 9, almost 10, and my dad and two older brothers played for fun. We had this great par 3 course that was lit at night, so it was kind of a family thing. We
yeah.
would go after dinner and play like 9 holes or 18 holes. Every hole was under 100 yards, so it was perfect. But yeah, I just remember, you know, wanting to be with my dad and my two brothers. So they were my inspiration when I was younger. And just really being with family was cool, and driving the golf cart at 10 years old. I mean, who doesn't mm-hmm. love that? So yeah, probably my dad and two brothers.
And I would imagine there's a point in every golf professional's life where you flip the switch from, I'm doing this for fun, I'm with my family, to I want to do this. I want to do this every single day with the purpose of getting better so I can do that. When did that switch flip for you? Was it right away, or did it take some time more towards high school? And
yeah, it was definitely more high school. I did
yeah.
homeschooling from sixth grade through high school, so I never really knew how to, you know, juggle school and practice and all that and travel. So you know, my family and I, we had long talks about, you know, do we go to college, do we turn pro, and we just said, hey, we'll try to turn pro and we'll see what happens, and if we make it, great. If not, then I'll just go to college. So it was great to have the flexibility to do both. And I made it through Q school my first try, thank goodness. And here I am.
Well, I think we could say with relative certainty that things worked out. Huh?
Yeah,
I think we could be pretty
choice.
Confident
yeah.
at this point. Speaking with Brittany Lincecum, she's out here at the Rockford Pro-Am today, playing with some folks from our community. And we were just talking about the best part of this event is the touch and feel aspect, and how close we can get to the spectators and the questions they can ask. We're just talking with Kevin about anytime you do something like this, I'm sure the first thing you have to do on the first hole, wherever you start, is get everyone to breathe a little bit, because watching it and been watching you hit a ball, and then they got to there with the gallery and go hit probably just the white knuckles is so apparent to you right out of the gate. So what are some things that kind of you have some tricks up your sleeve to kind of get these guys to relax, or gals, whoever you were playing with today, so that they're not all the way nervous right out of the gate, their shoulders up towards their ears?
Oh no, it happens, and there's really not a lot you can do about that first tee shot. It's
sure.
nerve-wracking even for myself, whether it's in Toledo, Ohio last week at a small event, to teeing it up this week with the men. It's super nerve-wracking either way. So but yeah, it's just the first, so after they kind of get through there and we're kind of joking a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I try to make them feel more comfortable. Obviously, like, I know how it feels to hit the first tee shot at a pro event. So
right.
I can only imagine, especially all the people that came out to Rockford today. I mean, it's amazing how many people come out and support this event and how cool it is to see. And but yeah, that first tee shot for an amateur golfer, you know, I'm like, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. So when they get the first one off, I'm like, okay, guys, now we're good to go. Now we right. can have some fun.
What are some things that you see when you do events like this in the normal amateur golfer? Is it, you know, just that head's moving all over the place? Is it the wrist? You know, what are the things that you usually see just in general that you think, you know, most of these guys are making the same, you know, few mistakes? I'm sure it's all head and balance and very simple stuff, but what do you see?
Yeah, it's the same things every time. Obviously, they try to overswing with the driver, so it's I'm trying to tell them to slow down the takeaway. If
but anything. I like it when I hit it really far, Brittany.
I love it. I do it, too. It's downwind. Swing even harder, which doesn't even make sense, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's the same. They try to overswing with the driver, and a lot of amateur golfers don't have the time to practice. And the first thing that goes is the short game, the chipping and the putting, which obviously a few amateur golfers are going to miss the greens occasionally. So you're going to have to get it up and down, and that's the hardest part for sure. And then in putting, you know, under reading the break, I feel like is something that they do a lot as well. So playing a little bit more break, because if you miss it on the high side, it doesn't roll out as far, so you don't have that uncomfortable five-footer coming back. So play a little bit extra break.
I hear you. Speaking with Brittany Linscombe out here at the Rockford Pro-Am today.
Where's your notepad, Jake?
Yeah, exactly. I'm missing everything right now. I've got to go back on the skimmer and listen to this back after the fact and just take very diligent notes so I can scrape together a halfway decent round. Brittany, as we move forward to the Barbasol next weekend, you know, looking ahead to the bigger picture of the future, obviously this weekend is gigantic. What are your plans as far as where that takes you? What are your goals? What's the ultimate for you? Obviously now we're getting to what everyone's asking you at this point in time, and I apologize for being redundant that way, but you know, what do you see as what your future looks like in the game of golf with these barriers you're trying to break down?
I think just getting through Barbasol, you know, I would love to make the cut. Nobody's ever made the cut in a men's event being a female, so that would be really cool. But the bigger picture, I mean, I just want to go and have a good time.
Yeah.
Maybe meet some new friends and just take it all in. You know, I'm sure there's things that the PGA guys do that I don't think of doing or wouldn't do, and maybe I can incorporate into my golf game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely going to pick up some tips here and there, I'm sure. Play a few practice rounds with some of the guys. It'll be really cool. And bigger picture, I think just, you know, keep playing. I've been playing great all year. You know,
yeah.
I'd like to get one more win maybe before the end of the season. I thought I was possibly going to get one last weekend, but I lost in the playoff. But you know, one more win would be nice, and just trying to influence kids, leave the game better than when I picked it up.
And seeing the crowd out here with you today, there's no question, and how personable, and everyone we talked to today that was following you for a while couldn't have said any nicer things or talked more about how awesome it was to have you here. So that's clear that you prioritize that. We were speaking with Kevin about this. It's something I always want to ask athletes, and especially with golf, because it's such a mentally taxing game. Mm-hmm. I'm always wondering, what's the thing that you do in your off time that you can just kind of flip the switch off? Some guys fish. Some people do this. Some people do that. Some people like to mow their lawn because you don't have to think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you have something in your life that helps you just kind of flip the brain off because what you do, some people consider it, you know, you're playing a sport, you're living your dream, you're doing all that. It's also one of the most mentally taxing things you could ever be doing, especially for the kind of money we're doing it for the pressure, the exposure. That's a lot. So what do you do to kind of turn the brain off?
Yeah, I actually do the same as some of the men. I go fishing a lot. My husband and I play tennis. Just being home and kind of doing nothing is fun sometimes.
Yeah. You don't have to sell me on that, guys. You do not have to sell me on that.
It sounds like every weekend.
Yeah. Maybe watching some movies, definitely making dinner at home. Obviously, we eat a lot on the road, out in restaurants, so cooking dinner is always fun. And just relaxing. Maybe go fishing 2 times a week when I'm home, and other than that, just relax.
Spending time, lots of times on planes and at home. What's in the Netflix queue right now?
Man, is it The Blind Spot, the girl with the tattoos that gets dropped off in New York? And they're trying to figure out, like, all that. Like, I'm addicted to that right now. In Blacklist, Scandal just ended, which I'm super bummed about.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to ask this question. Where did the Bam Bam nickname come from? How did it start? Like, when did it start to catch on?
How much time do we have?
We have as much time as you have.
As much time as you want.
So two different answers. Two different LPGA players swear that they were the ones that gave it to me. And one says it's because I hit it far. It's only fitting, Bam Bam.
Right.
And then the other one swears it's because when we went to Vegas, God only knows how many years ago, when I was rolling the dice, every single time I did, they were like, Bam. And I did really well, apparently. I rolled for like 45 minutes. It was a long time ago. And I made everybody at the table lots of money. And
Christian just talked about how down you went at the casino over the weekend, and we'll start screaming Bam Bam, we'll get it all back.
Which one do you like better? Which one do you...
I mean, hitting it far is pretty fitting, so
yeah. All right, fair enough.
We'll go with that one.
She's the longest driver on the LPGA Tour. She's going to be at the Barbasol this weekend, but made time to come out to the Rockford Pro-Am this weekend. Inspires so many people. Carried around the biggest gallery all day. Such a huge moment of pride for us. Thank you for everything you do to grow this game that so many of us love. We all see the grass. We all see all the participation numbers. But the thing that you guys do to come out here and show so many kids the upside, the beautiful side of this game, is something we couldn't be any more appreciative. So thank you for all your time. I've already taken up too much of it today, so I'll let you get back to all your other obligations the rest of the night.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on your show. And thank you to everyone in Rockford for having this wonderful pro-am and everyone that came.
That was Brittany Lincecum joining us in advance of her debut on the PGA Tour. She golfs on the LPGA Tour. Going to be with the men at the Barbasol starting today. So I'm very interested to see where the scores are coming in. We'll try to get you any updates if that's already coming in when she teed off. I forgot to pull that up before we played that interview. So we'll have that coming up. We got to talk more about what's going on with Jimmy G. Rolling around L.A. with an adult film actress. Would that fly here in Chicago? I got my punk card pulled by Dale, my Mitch Trubisky punk card, when he asked if I'd take him in my fantasy team. I'm still struggling with that. I got some news in the NBA, some news from the Chicago Cubs, and even on the All-Star break, someone going to the DL. You're listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's the Jake Logley Show. We're back with more right after this.
Rockford today. Get more info at dreamkeep.amfam.com.
Some rewards not available in all states. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating companies, American Family Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley here. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day. We do appreciate it very much. About 25 minutes before we are out of here on the Jake Logley Show, we're taking it into overtime with the King of Rockford Radio, Dean Irvin, coming up at 5. I know, as Thursdays go, our racing expert Beth Wagner going to be jumping on the phone. Talk about everything that's going on over the weekend in the world of racing. We got a great Friday show coming up for you as well. Stay tuned for all the details. Might be checking in with some baseball stuff as we resume and start the second half of the season. What are the goals? What are the benchmarks? What are the expectations for our three local teams? The Cubs, the White Sox, the Brewers, all of it. We're talking all about it. So keep it locked right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. News in the NBA. Carmelo Anthony has been traded, dealt from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks wanted him so they could take on the contract and cut it. They were able to shed Dennis Schroeder's salary as well as some other assets in order to acquire Anthony and waive him immediately. The Rockets immediately become the favorite for Anthony's services. We'll see if he feels the same way or if anyone else can claim him if they have the cap space to take on the money. Those are the considerations, but amazing. Carmelo Anthony twice, the apple of the bull's eye in free agency, and now people just want him for the contract so they can get it off the books immediately. I mean, just craziness happening with that guy. But never been the best team guy in the world. And that's what's important. That's what you're hoping the Bulls have here when they're in the young core. A big part of why the Warriors developed a young, great team, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, all great team guys. Steph Curry, a great unifier. Mild-mannered, somewhat unoffensive. Great start to the organization. Klay Thompson, one of the quietest guys around. Never going to make any noise. Draymond Green, regardless of what you want to believe, phenomenal teammate. Everything from people that you actually know what goes on within locker rooms and what guys feel about certain guys. If you're on the opposite side of Draymond Green, you despise him. If you're on his team, you adore that guy. I'll never forget. When in the court of Kevin Durant, when they recount the meeting in the Hamptons and Draymond Green, to ease Durant's fears about being the villain, he said, when you're on with us, when you're on our team, you don't go through anything alone. That's a great teammate. That's a great sell. You hope that the Bulls have acquired similar type guys. I think Wendell Carter is really smart. Lauri Markkanen, in the limited time you hear, is a really nice guy. Chris Dunn maybe is that similar dog that you need on your team, that really gritty kid that is just going to outwork everyone on the floor. So maybe the Bulls are assembling something similar, but Carmelo Anthony doesn't fit that story at all. He is about him. And I'm anxious to see what happens because James Harden's also a lot about him. He's just better. And Chris Paul also has a long history of looking out for Chris Paul, despite what he would want you to believe. Some baseball news. Brandon Morrow for the Chicago Cubs hitting the 10-day DL retroactive to July 16. So he'd be eligible to come back on July 26, about a week from today. And it's with right biceps inflammation. So throwing arm bicep inflammation is why he's hitting the DL. Cubs without one of their better bullpen pitchers, their closer, to start the second half of the season. Not great news, but something you can bounce back from. It's a long season. And those types of things happen, and you have to be able to recover. Maybe it's a throwing into the fire for Justin Wilson and a test for CJ Edwards. We need you to be pitch well. Can you do it? Lock in for a week. Lock in. We're not asking for the world. It's a week. Are you going to let us down? Are you going to be the guy that we can count on when the going gets tough? Are you going to get tougher? Those are the types of questions the Cubs are going to have to answer throughout the entire second half. What happens when crap hits the fan? What happened when it's not easy? What happens when you can't when runs aren't being scored at a 7 per game clip? Can you still go out and win a game? Can we trust our starting pitcher to go out there and get 6 innings? To give up 3 in the first and then grind and limit it to 3? Those are the types of things that championship teams do. That's what the 16 Cubs did. 15 Cubs hit a lot of home runs. 17 Cubs scored a lot of runs, an ungodly amount. If you're not consistent, if you're not tough, you're not going to win a championship. You can go far on talent, but you can't go all the way. Cannot get all the way to the top of the mountain. And listen, I heard White Sox fans talking about this the other day, and I totally get it. I hear Cubs fans talking, you got everything on planet Earth. You got the whole world, and you still find a way to complain. It's affluenza for sports. Being so rich in assets and talent and success that you find the most minuscule things to be problems. But we've talked about it before on the show. I don't hold that against fans. I don't hold that against myself. The fact that it's really hard to win. And when you have a chance to, when you have a window to win, don't apologize for the fact that you want to capitalize on it. That's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing. That gets twisted sometimes. For the second half of the season for the Chicago Cubs, you need to find a way to establish that the Milwaukee Brewers, now that they missed out on Manny Machado, that deal becoming official, him going to the Dodgers, is not going to stand in your way. That the Brewers are still the little brother. That's what I want to see for the Cubs. Win every head-to-head with the Brewers. Win those series. Do not let them crawl back 2 games at a time. Where you go down, they go up. That is simply unacceptable. 815-874-1330, the number to call. If there's anything on your mind, we're going to the phones right now. Good afternoon. You're on Sports Fan 1330. Who do we have?
Yes, sir. Thanks for letting me back on.
Yes, sir.
Quick question. When they sign these rookies, you know, like the guy that the Bears just signed.
Roquan Smith.
Roquan
Smith?
Roquan Smith, yeah. Okay, now he's kind of holding out. Why don't they make this contingent upon, okay, you're going to get this signing bonus or whatever you're doing if you're in camp the first day. If you're not in camp the first day, $5,000 goes to your favorite charity. If you're not in camp the second day, another $5,000 goes to your favorite charity. You know, hold these guys' feet to the fire, for Christ's sake.
Well, that's something that the NFLPA would have to agree to, and I don't think they'd be very smart to do that.
You don't think so?
I don't think the Players Association has ever given up a player's right to hold out in any way, shape, or form, whether you're a rookie, whether you're anyone. That's the player's leverage. That, hey, you're not going to do what I want you to do. I'll sit out, and now I'm going to look like a bleep. I'm going to look like a bad word inserted there for sitting out because the fans want to see me and they want to see me practicing and they want to hear from media that I look great. But right. If you're not going to pay me, I'm going to sit out. That's the only leverage the player has. Otherwise, he'd have to be lowballed on contracts every year.
But see, I just stepped up to the plate and I said, "Okay, Jake, I'm going to give you." $270,000 the first year, and I haven't seen you tackle a guy. I haven't seen you run, except in you know, that combine.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what you can do on the pro level, and I'm guaranteeing you a pretty good income. So what do you got for me?
Opposite side
you're
of that.
You're going to hold out?
Opposite side of that. Your signing bonus is guaranteed in the NFL. That's your money. Your salary is contingent on you playing, or at least a good portion of it. So if I'm Roquan Smith, it's probably my smallest contract, but it also might be my most important. Because if I go and tear my knee 2 years in a row, my career's over. So it's pretty important to get this one right as well.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, hell, look, I just said they're going 10-7. And then after I hung up the phone, I thought I didn't even factor in injuries.
No, I mean, this Bears team is still razor thin. That offensive line has about 2 injuries it could give up before it's one of the worst in the league.
Oh, yeah.
The linebackers are not that different. If Danny Trevathan or Roquan Smith don't play and don't play as well as we think, that all of a sudden the middle of the field, 10 to 15 yards out, 10 to 25 yards out, is exposed. This Bears team, just like the years before, could be real close to being bad. But, you know, maybe they're due for some good luck, too, because they'd have some pretty crappy luck over the last 3-4 years or so.
Well, that's what I'm shooting for. But if it's you, don't you want to show up and show them what you've got?
Oh, it's a bad PR look. It is a bad PR look for Roquan Smith, because all you want to do as a rookie is ingratiate yourself to fans. You want to show that, hey, I'm just the blue-collar, hardworking kid who's happy to be here and I'm excited to be a Bear. And when you sit out, that goes opposite of that narrative. But at the same time, he's probably has his agent telling him, who cares about that? Let's get you paid. And I still don't know what Ryan Pace is holding out on. Is it the signing bonus? Is it the guaranteed money on his salary? I don't know what the holdup is. I haven't gotten a clear answer on that. But you sure hope it's not the Bears messing around with this kid. You hope it's something. There's no best case scenario. Either the Bears are lowballing him or this kid's being real stubborn about something. It's not a good look, Jake. That's for sure. I don't disagree with that. But I don't know what to do about it, because I like the players having the leverage to say, hey, you're not giving me the respect I deserve. So I'm going to go ahead and sit on the bench and you can have shorts practice. They don't wear pads for another 2 weeks. Let's also not forget about that. How important is it out there that all he does is do walkthroughs for a week and a half?
Well, but still, while he's doing the walkthroughs, he's learning the system.
Sure.
And as far as respect goes, you've got to earn respect. You don't just get that handed to you because you came out of college and you were a damn good player and you got signed by the Bears. That respect's got to be earned.
No, you usually don't see it from rookies. Sometimes rookie quarterbacks hold out because their contracts are somewhat bigger based on position and where they were drafted. Yeah, this is rare. I'm not used to this. I'm trying to talk myself out of being concerned about it. So I'm giving you all these rationalizations. That's because I'm trying to convince myself this isn't an issue. But it's not a good look. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're on board with that.
All right,
okay.
Jake. Have a great night. Take care.
See you.
All right. Bye-bye. That's our friend Jake. Always calling and keeping me on task and on track. No, I'm trying to... I'm trying to talk myself into this too, saying that it's no big deal. This stuff happens. I had too much fun talking to Jake. I got to hit this break real fast. We'll back to wrap up the whole show, deliver a hot take for you when we come back. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley here. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday. Huey Lewis kicking in when I'm running board. You know that means we're wrapping up the show for the day. We've had a lot of fun talking to all of you on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, AllSportsFan1330. Let's take a look. We already had a couple of people say 7 and 9 on Facebook were the amount of wins you want to see from the Bears. Jake predicted 10 on the phone. Bold strategy. We'll see how that plays out for him. He just called back to ask another question about Roquan Smith and then said, oh God, I couldn't remember that their injuries are a factor here. I mean, totally healthy. Yeah. Maybe that roster is 10 wins, but do have to factor in depth. And we'll see, how healthy the Bears can stay. They also did fire their trainers. They basically redid the medical staff in the off season. We'll see if that pays any dividends. You never want to blame people who are trying their best to keep guys healthy. And then a lot of guys don't, I'm not saying they're not good at their jobs, but you do wonder if there's a cause and effect that could happen as a result of some of that stuff happening. So 7 and 9 tends to be the number we're getting back from some people. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll before we start the vote going with
Eight wins is what they needed to see. Now I got 44% 8, 33% saying 7, and 23% saying 9. So that 9 number is boosting, is what people need to see if they're going to be a successful season in 2018 for the Chicago Bears. Very interesting results there. I think I was expecting the pessimism to be a little bit more stated. I think I was expecting the pessimism to be a little bit more present in the fan base. It's good that the expectations are high. It's also July. Everyone's expectations are high right now. The Seahawks still think they're probably going to win. The Cardinals probably think they can be a sneaky dark horse team in the NFC. The Dolphins probably think they're going to win. By the way, I saw an article today from Danny Amendola talking about Adam Gase being one of the guys. Well, Bill Belichick's more like a principal. And on the same day, we see the conduct policy of the Dolphins being leaked. It says up to 4-game suspensions for anyone who protests the national anthem this year. 4 games from the club, not from the league, the team. And the team has the right to do it. The NFL has stated it. I'm interested to see the players take it through the court systems. 4 games. Remember Roger Goodell was going to give Ray Rice 3? Just a little food for thought there to end the day. Let's get some hot takes. Yeah, I'm running the board. That means we had to go with the OG hot take song. For a Thursday, July 19, 2018. A hot take for you. I'll tell you what season I'm not excited for. The Chicago Blackhawks. I don't think they make any more moves. They have about 5.25 worth of cap space. I don't think they do jack squat with it. I'll tell you what I am excited for. I'm excited to watch the Chicago Bulls. And I'll tell you why. For the first time in years on the Chicago Bulls, I have a vested interest in who I hope are the 5 starters. And Chris Dunn, I'm interested to see if he can continue to develop maybe a jump shot, be a distributor, be the dog on the floor. Zach LaVine, prove me wrong. Jabari Parker, kind of the same thing. Also stay healthy. Also be the savior of Chicago basketball. Lauri Markkanen, please don't take a sophomore slump. And Wendell Carter, please break through the starting lineup. I don't want to see Robin Lopez anymore. I know that experiment. Point being, this is the first time I've had this much of a vested interest in the Chicago Bulls. Here's my hot take. For the first 2 months of the season, from October through November, I think I miss 2 Bulls games. I think I miss a handful only in their entirety. I think I've only missed 2 in its entirety. I think there's only 5 I don't watch all the way through. There's only 5 games I'm not going to have on the TV the whole time. The first 2 months. Bears only playing on Sundays. Blackhawks I'm not going to be terribly interested in, because I'm just going to want to punch myself in the face every time. I'm going to watch a lot of Bulls basketball this year. I think that's a hot take, considering where most people are considering the Chicago Bulls at. That's our show. Hope you enjoyed. We're back with you at 2 o'clock. It'll be me tomorrow. Christian Hager out till Monday. Sports Fan Radio 1330. The King of Rockford Radio, Dean Irvin, coming next. Our racing expert, Beth Wagner, joining us as we head into overtime. Thanks for listening. My name is Jake Logley on Sports Fan Radio 1330.